there are some lawmakers out there who are proposing a 1% food and beverage tax with the money earmarked for municipalities. And that said, joining us now is the executive director of the Connecticut Restaurant Association, Sarah Maloney. And Sarah, good morning. Welcome to CT on the Hill.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
And Sarah, explain to our audience, first of all, what this proposal, God forbid if it were enacted, but what this proposal would do. What is being talked about here?
Absolutely. This proposal not only increases, you know, the sales tax from 6.35% to 6.99%, but also adds a municipal option of an additional 1% tax on food and beverages. Which restaurant patrons use discretionary dollars to go out and eat, and any action government takes that effectively raises prices, hurts small business owners and consumers. When people don't go out and eat, these businesses aren't succeeding, which means they aren't growing, hiring new employees, and paying more in taxes. It's just a complete domino effect.
When I go out to eat now, what am I paying in the way of taxes on that restaurant bill?
You're paying the 6.35% sales tax.
So now I would be paying a 6.99% sales tax and a 1% fee on top of that?
You'll be paying 7.99%. That's correct. Yep.
Because I had someone say to me yesterday, they called this program and said, what's the big deal on a $100 check? That would be an additional dollar. What would you say to that?
Well, you know what? The state has had a continuing budget deficit for years, and, you know, there's no guarantee that these funds would ever make it to the municipalities where they're meant to go. Also, you know, why the proponents of this bill, and some people may say, well, it's, you know, this new tax is optional, you know, and it's only 1%. Well, 1% tax this year is likely to become mandatory, and there's no reason to think that this tax won't go up in the future as, you know, these lawmakers are continuing to search for new revenue to balance the state budget.
So, how would that be computed on my restaurant tab? Would it be
a separate line item?
It would be 1%. A separate line item.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But would it be the 1% on the total with the 6.99% sales tax, or 1% before that sales tax?
Before on the food and beverage.
Okay, on the food and the beverage.
Mm-hmm.
What headache would this cause for the restaurant owner as far as trying to itemize this? You've got to prepare, I would guess, cash registers and machines for this sort of stuff. Would that be a headache?
Well, that's just another thing. It's, you know, it's an additional administrative burden on these businesses that are already overregulated. You know, and again, the policy is inconsistent. It will cause confusion for restaurants that have multiple locations and multiple municipalities. You know, one city may opt in and the other neighboring municipality does not. It's also confusing for the customer. You know, you go to one location and get a burger and fries and you pay whatever price, and you go to the same restaurant in a different town, order the same exact thing, and you're paying a different price. You know, it's very confusing, and it's definitely a burden on these small businesses.
Would this also apply to fast food places?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
How about to, like, a coffee shop, so like a Dunkin' Donuts?
As far as I know, there hasn't been any, you know, any word on if it's going to be regulated through permits or what type, but as we know, yes, it should be fast food, all types of restaurants on food and beverage. I'm not quite sure if it's going in on, you know, the gas stations or that type of places. I believe it's just food service at this point.
Now, in this measure, what's the definition of a beverage?
I'm not sure of that yet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm afraid to even bring in a get a glass of water. I'm afraid that might be considered a beverage.
Well, probably will be, unfortunately.
What does your membership say about this?
You know, we can't support any tax. You know, not only the increase in sales tax, but, you know, a tax that is targeting just one industry is just, you know, it's not fair. And the confusion, again, I think, between, you know, town to town, of one opting in and one not opting in is, you know, definitely a factor of, you know, of competition a little bit of, you know, well, you can go here. You know, say Hartford does opt in and, you know, West Hartford doesn't. It's another reason for people not to go down to Hartford to eat. I mean, it's already a problem. And it's just going to make it even worse. So we obviously just cannot support this. It just doesn't make sense, and it's not the answer.
Talking with Sarah Maloney, Executive Director of the Connecticut Restaurant Association. Sarah, explain to our audience just some of the regulations restaurant owners have to deal with now here in the state of Connecticut.
Well, I think we have kind of an anti-small business attitude in general, and, you know, between labor regulations and taxes, of personal income tax, corporate tax, property taxes, unemployment and workers' comp tax, you know, you add this on top of that, you know, it's not just one thing. It's, you know, one thing after another, and eventually something's going to have to give. You know, people can't keep paying all these extra taxes. You know, we can't keep raising our menu prices. Because people won't go out and eat. And again, that goes to the point of, you know, restaurants aren't growing, or they're even going out of business. They're not hiring new employees, and they're not paying taxes, and there's going to be empty storefronts. And it's just, again, a domino effect. And there's only so much these people take. These small restaurants are not going to be able to make it with all these regulations. They're just not. And, you know, again, this isn't the answer to balance a budget.
One of the things I hear from people when it comes to restaurants is, well, they should impose this tax. As it is, the help at the restaurants are getting paid below minimum wage because they get tips. Can you clarify that for our audience?
Absolutely. There's a tipped wage that we have, and there's two different wages. Well, there's obviously the minimum wage at $10.10, and then there's the tipped wage, which is a percentage of the minimum wage. So right now, servers are paid $6.38. An hour, and bartenders get paid $8.23. Again, that's a percentage of the minimum wage. And the tips are supposed to be making them up into the 10-10. If they're not brought up to that 10-10, say it's a snowstorm and a server never gets a table and they stay at the restaurant for 2 hours, the restaurant federally already has to pay the 10-10, has to make sure that they're getting paid at least the minimum wage. So servers, on an average nationally from the National Restaurant Association, are making $17 an hour. Mm-hmm. That's an average. So servers make up their minimum wage and bartenders through their tips.
So I'm thinking, is there a chance that a customer might say, well, you know what? They're whacking me on yet another tax. I'm just going to have to take it out of the tip.
100%. You know, I think that people, you know, they don't understand. You know, I can tell you, as a, you know, going out to eat as a diner, you know, I get the bill, you look at it, and you're like, oh, wow, it's, you know, it's expensive to eat here. You know, you're not looking at, oh, well, this tax, and this is why this is so much. You know, you're just saying, wow, this restaurant's expensive. You know, it's already a negative on the restaurant, but they don't have a choice. You know, they have to keep raising the prices because of all of these regulations and taxes that are keep putting up on them. You know, that $8 burger that's now $15 is not by choice. The restaurant's not making any more money on that. They're just doing it to stay alive. And, you know, it's just a problem that's, you know, misunderstood by some people that don't understand the, you know, the background information of what's going on here. And, again, restaurants don't want to raise the prices. They don't want to, but, you know, they have to, and, you know, in order to stay alive. And this is just going to be another factor that's going to, you know, hurt. It's not just hurting our, you know, it's not just hurting restaurants. It's not just about that. It's about everybody in Connecticut that dines out. It's about the consumers, and that's the problem.
If when you talk to your association about all of these regulations, are there any regulations, one or two of them even, where they say if only the state would repeal these regulations? Any two, let's say, that stick out?
You know, I think some of the labor regulations, and I think, you know, the personal income tax are the two biggest ones that are problems for our restaurants.
Mm-hmm. And again, anytime they impose a regulation or a tax, that also involves bookwork, paperwork, all of that, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yep. Like, again, it's an administrative burden on the small businesses again. And, you know, some of these smaller restaurants, you know, are family owned and, you know, might only have 3, 4, or 5 people. And, you know, again, it's just more work for them and confusion. It's almost like there's so many regulations, it's almost impossible to do things right, because you can't keep it straight. I mean, it's just nonstop, and it's just very difficult for these guys to be able to continue staying in business and stay alive and stay afloat and stay positive. So it's, again, it's just another hit, and it's just not, again, it's not the answer to balance the budget.
Have you lobbied any lawmakers on this proposal?
We have. We've done some emails. We've, you know, emailed our our membership, let them know what's going on. We always try to keep them informed all the time of what's happening. You know, we encourage them to not only email, you know, their legislators and their district, but also to call and say, hey, this is what's going on, and make sure they understand, you know, the restaurant business is not so black and white. There's a lot of gray. And, you know, sometimes it's just educating people of how it works and what's happening and explaining it for people to, you know, understand and feel what's going on and how it's hurting them. So I think that goes a long way of, again, not only emailing, but, you know, sending some phone calls and making sure that people understand and make it real.
Have you gotten any feedback from the lawmakers, any indication how they might vote?
You know, we have. We have, you know, many people that, you know, feel that they can't support it. You know, a lot of people that are saying that, you know, they're not supporting any tax, which is wonderful. Of course, you know, I think there's a lot going on up there right now and a lot of back and forth on a lot of different issues. But so far we've had a lot of people that were open to listening, and we appreciate that. So, you know, if they're open to listening and hearing our side and, you know, why we think that this is a bad idea, then that's the best we can do.
Sarah, anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it. We just really hope that we can, you know, not have this happen again, because it's not just about hurting restaurants. It's going to hurt, you know, the people of the state of Connecticut. So let's hope that we can, you know, not get this put in.
Thanks so much for illuminating this issue for our audience this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You take care. Sarah Maloney, Executive Director, Connecticut Restaurant Association, has been our guest.